Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. I've been reading in Isaiah and trying to mix in some gospel with it, because sometimes when I'm reading in the book of Isaiah, I guess a lot of people wouldn't admit this, but it just gets plumb over my head. Amen. And so I want to kind of get something fresh, and so I got through Mark and started into Luke this week, and I was praying today and meditating, and I believe God has something for us tonight. Let's begin reading in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 41. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 41. Good to see each one of you tonight in the house of the Lord. The Bible said, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions." I read this text today, and I'm going to read on in just a moment, but it reminded me of being in the hospital with Brother Brian down at MD Anderson. And the doctors had come in, the nurses had come in, and Brother Brian, if you don't know it, was a very, very smart individual. He had a tremendous education, but he was humble about it. He could talk to a six-year-old or he could talk to a doctor, either one. And one day he was a little bit agitated, a little bit irritated, because things medically were just not going the way that they should be going. And in the midst of that, I looked at him and I said, "Do you know what your problem is, brother?" He said, "What, Pastor?" I said, "You're just too doggone smart." I said, "I wouldn't even be concerned to know the question, let alone be concerned about the answer." And I remember the grin that come over his face, and he looked up at me and said, "You're right, Pastor." Jesus, can you imagine the look on these doctors and these lawyers' faces when this 12-year-old boy sits down? Now, he ain't been to college, but he just come from glory. Amen. He's the God man. He's God and he's man. And they're marveling at him. But watch this now. When they saw him, they were amazed. Let me go back up to verse 47. "And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers." That reminded me of something I've been saying for years. We come in the altar, and there's nothing wrong with that. I like that. But Brother Jason, I believe if Jesus knelt alongside of us to pray, I believe a whole lot of us would be getting up out of the altar and saying, "Lord, would you teach us to pray?" They're astonished at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, this was Joseph and Mary, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. That's said over and over in the scripture. Mary had a lot she had to keep to herself, didn't she? Raising this boy. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. If God will help me tonight, I want to speak to you on this subject for a little while. We're going to pray in just a moment. This is the subject tonight. How far do we go before we miss Jesus? How far do we go before we miss Jesus? Pray with me. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God, and thank you, Lord, for this story in the Bible. You said every word of God is inspired, Lord. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's all given for doctrine, for instruction, for correction. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, I went back over my life today as you've dealt with my heart about this message. God, when you saved me, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me, and Lord, you never have. And yet, Lord, there have been times, though the relationship never changed, the fellowship, our Father, sure wasn't what it should be. It sure wasn't what it used to be. And God, tonight, I pray that you'll just take the message and use it in our hearing. Use it in our lives. God, tonight, if there's someone that's not walking close to you, Lord, I pray tonight you'd draw them with cords of compassion. And Lord, if there's someone that is, that Lord, they would realize it's only the grace of the living Lord. I pray, dear Father, tonight, in the name that's above all others, the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Tonight, I want to ask you, if you will, to think about Joseph and think about Mary and think about, what's happened here. There's a crowd that's traveling, and, you know, they're not traveling on the subway. They're not traveling in a van or a bus. But they're walking, many of them, maybe some riding, but not many. And they're traveling together. They've went a day's journey now from Jerusalem before they discovered that Jesus, who they thought was in the crowd, was not in the crowd. I know that that was a different day than this day. I thought about when I pastored in Wise, the first church I pastored. There was a lady in the church that played a piano, and I believe it was her niece. If I'm not mistaken, they had six children. And they had been to the Walmart in Big Stone Gap. And they got home, and they only had five children. Can you imagine a mother's heart, amen, how it would drop? But now that was 30 years ago. I'm telling you, even then, I know a mother's heart would have dropped, but it would have been nothing like it is today, even 30 years later, amen. So she got on the phone with Walmart immediately, and they said, we've got the youngin' here at the service desk, amen. And thank God. All I'm trying to tell you is there's a day's journey. As I studied today, that's between 20 and 25 miles in Bible time. They've went 20 to 25 miles before they ever discovered that Jesus was not in the midst. Now they've got to turn around and go back 20 to 25 miles to Jerusalem where Jesus is. I'll give you this. I was going to address it a little bit later, but I think it fits right here. Look in verse 46. And it came to pass, the Bible said they went back to Jerusalem seeking him in verse 45. And it came to pass that after 3 days, I still don't know for sure how to interpret this, so to speak. I don't know if that 3 days, Brother Jason, included the day out and the day back and then a day back in Jerusalem, or if it's a day out and a day back and then 3 days in Jerusalem. I believe that's very possible because it was a busy time. It was the Passover, amen? Jerusalem was full of people. I got to thinking, and I'm not dogmatic about this because I don't know for sure, but it could be that they had never found him had not somebody said, "Have y'all heard about that boy that's down there at the temple? He's 12 years old, and he's got them astounded. They're astonished at his doctrine and his teaching." Old Mary's heart picked up. She said, "That's my boy, amen." And she went down there and was able to find Jesus. But I want you to think about something tonight. How far do we go before we miss him? I got to thinking about some characters in the Bible, and I'm not going to spend time on these. Just think about these things. Elimelech, he went to Moab. It cost him. Cost him terribly. I thought about Saul. You remember the king Saul. He went into the holy place. You don't have to go as far as you think before you miss Jesus. I thought about the prodigal. He went to the hog pen. Amen. He got plumbed down in the hog pen before he realized, man, it's better. Why, the servants back there at daddy's house got it better than what I got. I'm down here eating the husk with the hogs. I thought about Samson. How far did he have to go? He just had to go to sleep in the lap of Delilah. I promise you, when he woke up, he missed Jesus. You say, "How do you know that, preacher?" Because the Bible said he shook himself. And he went out like he did always. But the Word of God said he wist not that the Lord departed from him. I'm not preaching tonight, beloved, that God don't go with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. But I'll tell you what I am preaching tonight. We don't always go with him. And sometimes it's a long time before we miss him. Amen. A lot longer than a day's journey. People get out of church, go for years, some months, some years, listen to this, some decades, and some die and never make it back to the house of God. Amen? And I'm telling you, beloved, it's a wonderful thing to wake up one day and miss him if you're not walking with him. Amen? Let me just interject this right here. I believe in church discipline. I believe it's practiced wrong a lot of times. A lot of times it's practiced in order to drive somebody out. A lot of times it's practiced or not practiced at all. Anything goes. Nothing's ever mentioned about it. Amen. But I believe church discipline, when it's done correctly, is supposed to be to get that brother or that sister restored. Back to that place of blessing. Amen. Back to that where they don't have to miss Jesus anymore. Amen. Get them back to where they can walk with the Lord. So there's the day's journey. They're separated as a result of the distance. There's a distance between them and Jesus. 20 to 25 miles out, 20 to 25 miles back, and then at least a day in Jerusalem looking for him. At least a day. And I believe the way the scripture reads it, very possibly, Brother Larry, was 3 days that they're all over town. Throngs of people, amen. And they're looking for Jesus. I see tonight that as I ask the question, how far do we go before we miss Jesus? I see they're separated by the distance, but I also see, now listen to me tonight, they're separated by the distraction. You say, now, Pastor, Joseph and Mary weren't distracted. I believe they were. But let me say this to you tonight. This ought to speak to every one of us' heart tonight. They weren't distracted by evil things or bad things. They were distracted by good things. They went for the Passover. They're rubbing shoulders with God's people. Amen? And, beloved, let me tell you something right now. Sometimes the good things will take the place of the best thing in the believer's life. And the best thing you and I could ever do is walk with him.
and talk with Him and fellowship with Him and be a reflection of Him in this world that we live in. There are times, beloved, when we trade activity. Listen to me carefully. The Word of God said, be still and know that I'm God. I heard something years ago that changed my life. Said it'll be a happy day in your life when your devotion is no longer a time for you, but a time for Him. It's about Him. It's about Him. We need Him. Boy, I better get on this train. I mean, this just barely scratching. We better get on down the road. Amen. If we're going to get anything done tonight. They weren't distracted by bad things. They were distracted by good things. The Passover, the company. The Bible said in verse number 44, supposing him to have been in the company, they were in the right crowd. They were in the right company. They were doing the right thing. But they were missing Jesus. Jesus is missing. How far do we go before we miss Jesus? Even the good things in life can keep us from the best things. I wrote the word in the margin of my notes right there. I don't want anybody to get ill with me. I ain't thinking about nobody in particular. I'm just thinking about the season. We're coming upon the vacation season. I want to ask you a question. Have you thought about a church where you're going? My wife and I have been in Florida. We've been to Myrtle Beach. And honey, we're either looking on the internet before we leave the house, or we're looking up and down the road when we get there. You say, what are you looking for? We're looking for a place to go to church. You know what I found out? God's got young and scattered out all over His globe. You can go in there, Brother Jason, they'll open the same Bible, sing the same songs, Brother Dale, worship the same God. And I'm just telling you, beloved, I can't stand there and watch the sun come up over the ocean on Sunday morning. Actually, I can. That's for church. Say amen. But I'm going to find me a place, my family place. There's people that change jobs and never even for one moment consider we're going to another town, but where are we going to church when we get there? A lot of times the decision is made alone on dollar signs. And beloved, that had not ought to be. We're God's people. You say, Pastor, why are you describing those things? Because you ain't careful, you'll turn around, you'll be missing Jesus. You won't be having that sweet fellowship with Him. You'll be one of those, beloved, that two or three times a year will do you. I call it Brill Cream religion. I'm old enough to remember the commercial, a little dab will do you. Amen. Some of y'all looking at me right now and look at the back of my head and say, you need a little dab. I understand. My dad used some oil. It was Vaseline hair tonic. He'd rub it in there, boy. He'd wave it up there, man. It was nice. You say, why don't you do that? I ain't got time to do all that training. Amen. Thank God tonight. How far do we go before we miss Jesus? Let me give you a couple things tonight. I want you to notice three things in the message. Number one, the family. These people were in the family. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you remember when God put you in the family? I'm talking about the family of God. Do you remember how close you wanted to be to Him? Do you remember how you didn't want anything to come between you? Is anybody here tonight? Amen. I'm telling you, we're talking about Mary. We're talking about Joseph. We're talking about the company of people. We're talking about the family. Amen. You know what I'm glad? I'm glad 1987, 97, that's 10, 07, 20, 17, yeah, that's 30. So 27 be 40. So take off 4. I'm glad for the last 36 years. I still want to be among the family. But even though they were among the family, they were still missing Jesus. I got a blessing the other day. I got two of them and one, one of them come yesterday. One of them come Monday. A man told me Monday, he ain't been saved long, and he told me about getting to his mom and dad's and they had already started eating. Now he was in a dilemma. And his mom and dad, they're not of that stripe, so to speak, yet. We pray that they'll come along, amen, and be saved and get right with God. But they're not of that stripe where they bow their head and they ask the blessing. So here's this man. He's caught in a dilemma. What am I going to do? They said, what's the matter with you? He said, well, since I've been saved, he hadn't been saved in 7 months. He said, I ain't never eat unless somebody asks a blessing or I did. You know what I think? Don't get over that. There's a lot of people got over when they got in the family. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, there won't be no distance if you'll just stay close to him. Y'all know my son-in-law. How many knows Bob? I'm going to tell you something right now that'll blow your mind. I think it will. I think it'll blow your mind. I was there when Bob got saved. Thank God. Charity needed a saved husband. Them babies needed a saved daddy. And I needed a saved son-in-law to keep me from killing him. The other day, Bob called me and he said, you know what? He said, I got up and I decided. Brother Taylor, he's been listening to the Bible on the way to work. He decided, Brother Mike, that he was going to take the long way to work. He was going to leave early and take the long way. He was listening to that Bible. He told me, he said, Rick, it got so thick in that truck, I couldn't hardly stand it. He said, it was as if God was sitting right there beside of me. You know what I say? Hallelujah. There's too many people got over that. They're missing Jesus, and so many don't even know it. They get up and rush headlong into the day and never think about the Word of God, never think about praying, never think about witnessing to somebody else, never think about what somebody else might need in this world. Never think about a sinner that needs to be saved by the grace of God. Oh, beloved friend, there's the family. The second thing I notice in the Scripture is they found him. I'm going to give you something profound. Listen to me. They found him right where they left him. If y'all get a hold of that, it'll help you. A lot of people say, well, I'd like to have that joy that I used to have. Go right back there where you dropped it. Go right back there and find out where you dropped that joy. Go right back there. Listen, I'm not talking about God turning his back on us, but I am talking about you and I. Sometimes it's even good things that distract us to the point that we're missing the best things in life. Amen. They found him. They found him in the same place they left him. Let me give you something. To find him, a couple things here. It required time and effort. Hey, a whole lot of people ain't got time for Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. You say, Pastor, why do you preach like that? Because I can look back as I've studied today and I can look back at my life at times when I didn't have time for Jesus. I was doing good things. Amen. I was trying to accomplish things and a lot of it was for the glory of God, but I just didn't have time for Jesus. Let me tell you something right now. If you're too busy for Jesus, you're too busy. It requires time. It requires effort. You remember the time. There's a day back at least. There's at least a day in Jerusalem and maybe 3 days in Jerusalem. But honey, they're not going to give up until they find him. Wouldn't it be good we could have revival in America if God's people say, I'm not giving up till I find him. You say, Pastor, The Bible says there's no man that seeketh after God. I know that. I also know that it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Listen, listen, beloved. Listen, listen, listen. It's always him that initiates it. Amen. We might initiate the departure, but thank God Almighty, he initiates the return. Amen. Thank the Lord, he does. To find him required time. It required effort. Now, watch this. You'll like this. Look at verse 45. And when they found him not, here they are out there, day's journey away from Jerusalem. What's the next three words say? They turned back. If we're going to find him, it's going to require time. It's going to require effort. But many times in our life, it's going to require a turn. There's a word for that. Repentance. We're going to have to turn. Turn. If my people, which are called by my name, shall, what's the next word? Turn from their wicked ways. And then there's another word in there. And seek my face. Then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. I didn't have that in the notes, but God just put it in there. It fits perfectly. Not only to find him required time and effort, it required turning back, but it also required seeking him. Seeking him. Go spend a little time right here tonight. Isaiah, I quoted a while ago, said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. I believe it was Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and that I may inquire in his holy temple. Watch this now. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to Psalms chapter 63. I got several verses here tonight. We're going somewhere with this. It requires seeking him. In Psalms chapter number 63, let's read verse number 1. I didn't mark these places in my Bible. I figured we would just turn there. Psalm 63 and verse number 1. Listen to what the Bible said. Oh God, thou art my God. Can anybody say that tonight? Can you say he's my God? I like that. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. How many knows it's dry down here? Where there's no water. Oh, beloved friend, God said, let's seek him. They had to seek him to find him. Look in verse number 32 of Psalm chapter 69 with me, please. In verse number 32, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. How many's ever heard the term dead Christian? There's a whole lot of people, they're alive on the inside, but they're deader than a doornail on the outside. Amen? You want to know why? It's because somewhere in their life, they departed from the right way. And they've gone, and they don't even miss Jesus. I believe if anybody ever misses Jesus, they'll want to seek him. They'll want to find him. They'll want to get back to that place of blessing. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. This is talking about wisdom. Wisdom and Jesus, one and the same. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 17, the Word of God said, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. If you don't determine to seek God, it needs to be a determination in our life. We need to desire him. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Amen? Lamentations said the Lord is good to the soul that seeks him. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God showed me this several years ago, and I won't be dogmatic about it. You remember the lady that lost the coin over there in those parables? There was the lost sheep, the lost silver, and the lost son. You remember that? I believe it's Luke chapter 15, isn't it? I believe it is. It's in there close. But anyway, that coin, when you look at it in the text, was one-tenth of what she had. I don't know if God had there's a word there, a message. I don't know the words. I'll say it like this, a sublime message. There's another word. It's too big for this preacher. Amen. But God had an underlying message there, I believe. That woman was going to seek, and she was going to seek, and she was going to seek because she had something that she lost that belonged to God. Whoop, whoop. Listen to me. Let me give you something tonight. You say, oh, preacher, you going to preach on tithing? Nope, I'm going to preach on living. You belong to God. If you're saved by the grace of God, you belong to God. You don't belong to yourself. You've been bought with a price. Amen? Colossians said, seek those things which are above. If we're not careful, we're just like hogs under an oak tree. And we're gobbling up the blessings and never look up and realize where they're coming from. I believe tonight, it's not rocket science. I believe God wants to ask us a question, how far do we go before we miss Him? They went a day's journey. Some people have went a decade. Some have went several decades. And I'll tell you tonight, I don't understand. I don't understand statements like this. Listen to me carefully. I'm not throwing stones tonight. I don't understand statements like this. Well, I just got out of the habit of going. I want to tell you something. There was 10 years when I was preaching in the prisons, and I could have laid at the house if I wanted to on Sunday and Wednesday night many times. Brother Dale, you was at Oak Glen, but you didn't see me much. That's because I was preaching somewhere till I got hurt. You see me more when I got hurt, brother, than any other time in those 10 years. You say, Pastor, what was the matter with you? I'll tell you what was the matter with me. I wanted to be in the house of God, whether I was a pastor or not. Matter of fact, Brother Danny, we were in a meeting up in Bristol. It was a Sword of the Lord meeting, and I turned around. We were fellowshipping, and I'd been praying about where do I go to church? Where do I go to church? And somebody said, you mean you done joined the church? I said, yeah, I have. They said, well, why'd you do that? I said, because I said I would. Anybody read the church covenant? Hello! It says something about as soon as we're removed from this place, we're going to find another fellowship of like faith, amen, and we're going to join up with them and serve God together, amen. That's what it says, the church covenant. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, don't preach it if you ain't going to live it. Amen. I didn't want that distance between me and Him. I turned around and said to Brother Danny, how'd you feel about being my pastor? I'd never been to the church. He said, I'd be honored to be your pastor. I said, we'll be there Sunday morning. We'll join Sunday morning. He said, I'd be scared of somebody walking through the door and joining the same morning. I would too. But that's what we did, because that's what God put in our heart. Precious, 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 precious to know Him, to walk with Him. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 9. Let me show you something tonight to bless your heart. Daniel chapter number 9. Hosea chapter 10, I believe it is, and verse number 12. Listen to this. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. That looks to me like it's personal. Look with me, if you will, please, at Daniel chapter number 9. I'm going to have to hurry. Daniel chapter number 9. I wish we could get an air conditioning system that worked for me and another one that worked for you all. Amen. My daughter said, Daddy, you need to quit doing calisthenics while you're preaching. I will one day. I will. Look what the Word of God said in Daniel chapter number 9. This is precious scripture. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Look at verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Would you all please tonight, as I'm reading this, think about America. I know Daniel's got Israel on his heart. I know that. I'm aware of that. But you know what we need in America? We need some of God's men. We need some of God's women to set their face, to seek by prayer the face of God. Watch what the Bible said. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and I made my confession. And I said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Can anybody say amen right there? America has departed from the precepts of God and the judgments of God. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. Is that not where we're at? As at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, unto all Israel, that are near, that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them. Because of their trespass, they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, our princes. That bunch in Washington, D.C., they're as confused as a termite and a yo-yo. Hey, man, I'll tell you why. Because they won't look to the Scripture. They won't look to the God of heaven. Everything don't need to be done by compromise. You might not like that statement. Amen. I don't even like the word. Somebody needs to take a stand. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us. You say, Pastor, it's not good. I don't want to bust your bubble. But honey, until there's some turning going on and some repenting going on, it ain't going to get no better. The Bible said, and he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn, there's that word again, from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renowned as at this day. We have sinned. We have done wickedly. This is a man, beloved, that's pouring out his heart before God. One of the things I've always said about these Old Testament prophets, they, listen, there's not a doubt in my mind, Daniel was a holy man. Say amen. Now, he went right down there among the lions. I believe his old brother May said, say, come here, Leo. I need a pillar. Amen. I don't believe he was shaking in his shoes because he was walking with the God of heaven. Amen. He wasn't afraid. But yet these men enter in to the sins of the nation. They don't use the word they, Brother Larry. They say we. We. And beloved, let me tell you this. If you're a Christian tonight, I believe a lot of what's going on lays on the steps of God's house. We've not prayed like we should. We've not stood like we should. We've not interceded like we should. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sin, for the iniquities of thy father. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolation and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. I don't know if you can see Daniel's heart in this or not. Daniel's not trying to say, look at Daniel. Daniel's trying to say, we're looking unto thee, Lord. Looking for mercy. Seeking his face. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. I'm going to wrap it up tonight. But I hope and pray to God you can see in Daniel's prayer. In verse number 3, he said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek thy prayer. I mean this. I believe if there was an honest assessment on any given Sunday morning of the minutes that were spent in prayer the week prior in a congregation our size, I believe we'd be plumb ashamed. Would somebody help me and say amen? We need to get back to seeking the face of God. America is not hopeless, but America is helpless. We can't help ourselves. We need God to help us. There needs to be a turning. I've noticed two things so far, and I'm going to give you this last one quick. We noticed the family. How far do we go before we miss Jesus? I believe it was President Bush. He was the first one. They put up a billboard not long after he was out of office, and it said, miss me yet? I'm not trying to get in your politics. I'm just trying to tell you a billboard that I saw, amen, said, miss me yet? You know what I believe, Brother Dale? I believe we need to get one for church. Put it up there on the wall with Jesus. Miss me yet? How far do we go before we miss Jesus? The last thing in the message tonight was the Father's business. We noticed the family. We noticed they found him. And we notice the Father's business. Where they found Jesus was right where the Word of God said they found him, about his Father's business. The Lord's going to come after you and he's going to come after me. Either on the big load or individually, God's coming after us. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I sure would like to be found doing my Father's business. I'd like to be found that way. I'd like to be found studying or found praying or found talking to somebody or found... You see, I told Bob today, he was texting me back and forth a little bit, and He said, what are you going to get into? I said, God has given me the thought. Now I'm going to go mow and meditate. I need to fix me one of them things like Brother Don's got on his wheelchair. Set that Bible up there in front of me. Amen. Then I do like Daddy. Daddy, he always got on me, Brother Dale. He said, don't you streak that yard, boy. Amen. You ever seen a yard mowed and let somebody leave streaks? That bugged my daddy. That bugged him, buddy. Amen. But I'm going to tell you tonight, you don't have to have that Bible open. If God speaks to your heart, honey, you can chew on something for days. And the more you chew on it, the bigger it gets. Amen. It's 10 after 8, so I better quit. Old truck driver one time, his name was Eddie Dunn. Wicked man, Devin. Used God's name in vain, every other word to come out of his mouth. I mean, tell you, a beer drinker, just a wicked man, a truck driver in Baltimore. And he was a good friend of my dad's. And my dad got saved. And my dad was in Virginia, had been in Virginia for years. And this man was coming through town. And this man got saved. I believe he really got saved. I'll tell you why. Him and Dad got to reminiscing about old times, brother. And he spit that word out of his mouth again. You say, now you don't believe a saved man would do that, do you, preacher? Let me tell you what the saved man done. He began to cry. He said, John, it's such a filthy habit. It's come out of my mouth all these years. He said, I'm sorry. He looked up in the kitchen and said, God, I'm sorry. You say, what is that? I'll tell you what, that's a man that's walking pretty close. He didn't need a preacher. He didn't need a song. He didn't need a sermon. The Spirit of God smote his heart the moment it came out of his mouth. Eddie told a story one time. He was coming in, long haul truck driver. Brother John would enjoy this, Sister Joyce. He's a long-haul truck driver, and he is coming in. And he knew his wife had dinner ready. She did every time he come home. He's about 3 hours from the house, but he is starved to death. He said, I just ain't going to make it. So he stopped and got him a Pepsi and 2 pecan pies. You remember them pecan pies? Some of them pretty good. You get once old, though, and you better have about a quart of water, or you ain't going to get it down. Amen. And this was back in the day when they had cardboard bottoms on them, Brother Eddie. And he told Daddy the story. He said, John, he said, I ate that first one. They drunk about half that Pepsi. He said, everything went real good. He said, I bit into that second one. He said, so help me. He said, the more I chewed on it, the bigger it got. He didn't take a cardboard off a bottom of it. Right? Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I hope and pray to God that some of y'all know what it is to chew on God's Word. Because the more you chew on it, the bigger it'll get. Amen. It'll get so big, it'll have to break out somewhere. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. I don't want to be out there, do you? We could talk about Peter tonight, couldn't we? Over there warm in his hand. Oh, I don't know him. I don't know him. Jesus done told Peter it's going to happen, didn't he? God deliver us. Amen. God deliver us. Let's stand tonight and we'll leave.